Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with you in the first Sabbath of the new year and to see all of you here to rejoice with me in this wonderful celebration that we call the communion. And I'll turn on my microphone here so the sound guys get it. There we go. Well, again, it's so fascinating to be here in this the first communion Sabbath, the first Sabbath of the new year. So let's open our Bibles to Luke again. Luke chapter 22 and verse 14. And we're going to have a sermon that I call Three Pictures of Hope in the Lord's Supper. Let's pray together as we begin. Father in heaven, as we're opening these pages of Scripture, as we pull out our study guides, I pray that your Spirit would fall upon us for just this brief moment as we look into the Scriptures in a very important way and see the incredible pictures of hope that we find in this Lord's Supper. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. How many of you know that symbols can create pictures? Symbols can create pictures. Let me give you an example. This up here that you're looking at is actually a bunch of symbols. They call them ASCII 2 art, ASCII 2 characters on your keyboard. And this created what you see here. What is it a picture of? Can you tell me? Yeah, it's an eye, that's right. In fact, if you look at this one, you can actually see the characters that make up this picture. What is this picture? What is it? Oh, good. Zebra, right. And what's interesting is what we're seeing here is that symbols can actually create pictures. Pictures that we can see. Probably one of the most interesting symbols to pictures that I ever saw was in a museum of art. And this particular one, an artist took the entire Gospel of John and on this great big painting put all this, the words, the symbols would have been the characters, the letters, but the whole Gospel of John, and you look, you stand up close, you see the Gospel, you stand back and you see Jesus. I thought, wow, that's so cool. Symbols create pictures. And today, what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at how the symbols of the Lord's Supper, the grape juice and the bread that Jesus spoke about, we heard just a few moments ago, create pictures, pictures of hope that we find in the Lord's Supper. So I hope you have your study guide out. Let's go ahead and write down the first one. We're going to look at these three pictures today. Here's the first one. The grape juice is a symbol that paints the picture of redemption. The grape juice is a symbol that paints the picture of redemption. And to get an idea of where we need to look for the meaning of that is in this the very beginning of Luke, where it says that they went to prepare what? What did John and Peter go to prepare? Passover, right. And the Passover is the first picture, where we'll find that first picture. If you go back to Exodus and you were to look in verse 12 and verse 14, you're going to find this that God said to them. He said, "This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and as a statute forever you shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the first day you shall remove the leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened on the first day of the week, the seventh day," then of course they began this process of the Passover. The Passover essentially was a memorial service that was done every week. And interestingly, the Passover talked about an event that occurred where they would take blood from an animal and they would shed the life of that animal and place that blood over the doorposts on the sides of their doors. What it symbolized was this. In the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, when God was delivering them out, he sent plagues against the Egyptians. all of the plagues that God sent against the Egyptians only fell on the Egyptians. Even though the Israelites were right there, it didn't fall on them. For example, when God sent darkness on the land, there was light in the homes of the Hebrews. But the last of these plagues that was the one that essentially was the catalyst that got them out of the land of Egypt into the freedom that they had was a plague that was going to fall not on the Egyptians only, but on all the people of the land. The last plague was this plague of death on the firstborn of animals, the firstborn of men. And every single person, including the Hebrews, was subject to this plague. But God gave a way out. And the way out was this, the sacrifice of the Passover lamb and the placing of the blood on the doorposts by faith. Placing that blood on the doorposts. And as a result, that night, the Hebrews were redeemed. All the firstborn of the Hebrews lived. And this is the exact idea that we have here in this Passover. It was the idea of redemption. And what happened was, after that then, God had redeemed them. God then said, they are mine. Listen to what it says in verse 13. I'm back here. 13 in verses 1 and 2. It says, the Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whoever is his first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both man and of beast, is mine. They then became property of the Lord, for they were redeemed by the blood of this goat. And this is exactly what Acts tells us happened to us as well. He tells us that all believe in Jesus have been purchased by what? His blood. And so that we now are bought by the blood of the Lamb. And we are all redeemed. See, the example of it might be like this. There was a story of a pastor who was walking down the street one day and happened to see a little boy who had a cage. And inside this little cage that he had made were these birds that he caught in the field. And he looked at them. He says, what are you going to do with these birds? And he says, well, I was thinking about taking them home and playing with them a little bit and then feeding them to my cat. The pastor thought about that for a moment and says, listen, how much are those birds worth? He says, they're not worth anything. They can't sing. They're just these old ugly field birds. So the pastor says, how about this? How about I give you $10 for the cage and the birds? And the little boy's eyes shot up. Yeah. So he gave him the $10 bill. And he walked off whistling, thinking, boy, that guy's a sucker. And the pastor took these birds in this cage and walked around back behind of his church and he just opened the door and let them fly away. And then took the empty cage with him to church the next day. And as he was coming to church, he said to the people, he was telling the story and he looked at the cage. He says, you know, that little boy said those birds couldn't sing, but when I opened that door, they said, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. That's what it means to be redeemed from death, to be bought back at a price. And this is what happened to us. And so this first picture then is the picture of this grape juice, which sets this picture of redemption, that we have been redeemed. The exchange has been made. The cage is empty. And of course, when this happens, we then are also bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20 says, he bought you for a price, so use your bodies for God's glory. You know, do you realize today that when you partake of this grape juice that we're going to have together, you're recognizing this relationship that you have been bought for a price, and now you belong to Jesus. Amen? It says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, this is one of the formulas for salvation, by the way. Paul recites it. He says, if you confess that Jesus is what? What? Oh, I see. The whole congregation should be saying this. If you confess that Jesus is Lord. Yeah, that's the idea of him, you being bought with a price, and he now is Lord. in your life and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, but with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Jesus is Lord. We've been bought by a price. And of course, the where you look for this symbol is back at the cross. So today, as we go, we're going to look backwards to the cross to see this first symbol in communion, which is the symbol of redemption. Back at the cross. Now let's look at the second. The second picture that's made in communion of hope from the symbols of the grape juice and the bread is the bread and the grape juice paint the picture of community. The picture that you see is the picture of community. You know, let's give you an example here. Luke chapter 22, verse 20 tells us this. It says, "And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, 'This is the cup that is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood.'" And what this tells us is that everyone who partakes of this grape juice and bread today is partaking, are partakers of the same covenant. We are all covenanted together as one people. We enter into this covenant. Just as real and as binding as the one that God made with them at Mount Sinai, Hebrews 8 tells us it's based on the same law, just written in a different place. But everyone who enters into that covenant enters into a covenantal community of covenant people. Watch. Corinthians 10:7. It should be 1 Corinthians 10:7. "Since there is one bread, we who are many that are in this room today are what? One body. For we all partake of the one bread together." And so what communion symbolizes is a picture of community. Community that joins together in covenant, all redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, all sharing together in community. What does that mean? It's such a powerful thing. You know, there was a book called Growing Strong where there was a story of a woman who was traveling down one of our interstate or one of our highways and was going over a mountain pass. And before she arrived at the mountain pass, as you know, in Oregon, it gets really foggy. She was unfamiliar with the roads. She was traveling on an interview somewhere, and she happened to arrive at this truck stop right there before the mountain pass, all fogged out. She goes to the diner. She's standing at the diner, and the lady behind the counter says, "Well, are you going to wait this out? There's hotel rooms over here. If you've never gone through this pass, you don't want to go by yourself if you're unfamiliar, because you could die. Some people have." And the woman looked at her and said, "No way. I'm not staying here. I'm going to go through the pass." And hearing that, a couple of truckers sitting at the counter said, "Well, ma'am, it looks like we may have to give you a hug." And of course, you can imagine her reaction to that. And the guy goes, No, I'm not talking about that. What we'll do is we'll go first because we know this pass very well. And you go in between behind me, and there'll be a guy behind you. And we'll just walk you, we'll hug you all the way through this pass." And so that's what they did. And she made it safely through. But the point of telling you that story is this, is that just like this lady, we're all caught in the fog of our dangerous passage through life. But we don't take it alone. We get hugged by fellow Christians. We're hugged by fellow Christians who have the experience and know the way. We're hugged by fellow Christians that are behind us and give us encouragement as we go through our path. And so as we take this communion today, all of you who are taking this, remembering this second picture, really in the bread and the grape juice is a picture of community. We take that together. We have the picture of redemption. We have the picture of community. And then finally, in the book of Luke, we have this picture. We have, oh, by the way, write this down. We experience the picture of community in the present, don't we? While we look backwards in history to the cross and see redemption, we experience community in the present. And now we're going to go to another dimension in time. Because the last picture in the Lord's Supper is a picture that paints promise. the promise that we have in the Lord's Supper. And this is the part I really love. Because in Luke chapter 22, verses 16 through 18, Jesus says this. He says, I have earnestly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took this cup and he blessed it and gave thanks. What Jesus is saying is there's a promise associated with this. Jesus says that he's going to eat it again with us in the kingdom of God. Isn't that a blessing promise? It's talking about the promise that Jesus, that you and I, will return and that we will be again, see his face, and we will eat this Passover with him. Isn't that wonderful? You know, when you think about the comparisons that are made between the Passover, in the first Passover in Egypt, and the Lord's Supper, there are some similarities, but the similarity ends. You see, when the children of Israel were delivered and saved, they were taken out of Egypt. But you and I are not. While we have been saved from the penalty of sin, and for those who are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, we're being saved from the power of sin, we are not saved from the presence of sin. We're still living in a world where we see struggling with it all day long. But are you longing for the day when we'll be delivered from that world as well? From not only the power of sin, but the penalty of sin, but the very presence of sin as well. And Jesus is talking about that promise. There's a day coming when he will return and we will be called up together to him. And we will share this Passover meal one more time. And it'll be such a joyous day. And that's the promise that Jesus wants us to see. In fact, in Revelation 19:9, it talks about it as the wedding supper of the Lamb. It says, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Wouldn't you like to be invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb? And so, when we look for this picture in the Lord's Supper, write this down, we're seeing this picture in the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ. But of course, in order for any of us to see these pictures at all, there has to be an ingredient. In order for you to see these pictures in your life, the picture of redemption, the picture of community, the picture of promise, you need to have faith. Faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence or conviction of things that you don't see, Hebrews 11:1. You see, faith honors God and God honors faith. And from there, you know, when you think about what we're doing here today, as you see the emblems of this grape juice and this bread that's unleavened, when you partake of it, do it in faith, remembering that it is redemption that it symbolizes. Remembering that it's community that's in the present that it promises, and then the hope of this future, that Jesus is coming again. Do it in faith. You know, there was a story that was told when the missionary movement started going to Africa many, many years ago. There was a story told of a couple. And this couple happened to go to a part of the world that was called Betula Land, which is now called Botswana. And one of the things this couple did was they said that they really wanted to reach this group of people for Jesus. But unfortunately, they spent year after year after year and not one person was converted to Christ. Finally, 10 years later, the mission board was wondering whether they should end it all. And on the 10th year, they sent a message to this lady and her husband, and they said, listen, what is it that we could give you as a gift this year more than anything else that would help you? And writing back, the lady wrote this, send us a communion set because we're going to have the Lord's Supper here. They sent the set, and it wasn't less than a year later, they were celebrating their first communion with the first group of Christians in Botswana. It takes faith. Faith in what God can do. His promises will be fulfilled. So today, as you celebrate the Lord's Supper with us, remember that you are redeemed. Remember that you are in community. Remember that Jesus promises that he's coming again. And remember all these by faith. God honors your faith. Let's pray. Father, as we separate now to join together to wash one another's feet as you had asked us to do, I pray that in that act of leadership, we would leave our sins there. We would confess them to one another. We would heal one another at this time. And we would come back together to this room, joining in community to remember these most precious symbols. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.